It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Anoush Zamarodi. And we are starting in a beautiful part of Spain, the mountainous region of Aragon.
Up near the Pyrenees, near where the border with France is, basically.
It's fertile and smells delicious, too.
Rosemary and, like, thyme and oregano, like, all growing, like, naturally out here is phenomenal. And all these, like, olive trees, all sorts of amazing stuff.
This is paleoanthropologist Genevieve von Petzinger. And the day before we spoke, Genevieve had been hiking to find a cave here dating back 30,000 years. It's called Fuente del Trucho.
Like, the rock here is this wonderful yellowy, very pale yellowy brown color. And so all you can see from this great distance, from the top of the canyon, I could see down the canyon, across the ravine, and a little bit up the other side, this wonderful big, you know, sort of rock shelter cave mouth, just inviting me to come to it. And then as you get to the entrance, you're looking in, but you can't actually see inside of it. So you can sort of see where it goes dark. And so in this case, there was enough light that we were able to enter just kind of by crouching down and going in. But you have to be so careful because you cannot brush like any surfaces. And then we got into a place where we could actually stand up in there. So, you know, then we're bringing up the lights and then suddenly, boom, we're like surrounded by all these red negative hands.
Negative hands. Tell me what that is.
Yeah. So a negative hand is when you put the paint into your mouth. Been there, done that. But you stick it in your mouth and you mix it with like water often, or sometimes blood, sometimes other things. And then you put your hand flat on the wall and you spray it out of your mouth, almost the equivalent of like a spray can. This was like the paleo spray can, basically. And then when you remove your hand, it leaves the negative outline of the handprint with that wonderful kind of sprayed halo around it.
Wow.
And this site has almost 100 of them. You know, it almost brought tears to my eyes. There are little person hands in this cave.
Oh.
There was one hand they think is about that of a four-year-old. It's so tiny. I have a five-year-old son, so of course I'm like, oh my gosh, that's like my boy.
Wow. It's like they're reaching out to you through the ages.
Isn't that incredible? And it's too high. Like, the four-year-old was not standing. Somebody had to lift them up. It's on the ceiling. So, like, this wasn't just a kid fooling around. This was very purposeful and very deliberate what they did. We don't know why they were doing it, but, I mean, one of the ideas is even just maybe this was a way that everybody in the tribe was sort of made their mark, right? You know, I was here. This is us. And I think that's what truly fascinates me in a way, because, like, what do you need to survive? You need shelter, warmth, and you need food. Once you get past that, it's non-utilitarian. It's not required. And yet our ancestors put a heck of a lot of time and energy into making art. And so what was it about it that was so useful for them about this?
Humans have left behind evidence of their existence for tens of thousands of years. From cave markings to libraries, we've been capturing and collecting our stories and thoughts and preserving them for future generations. But how do we know if we're accurately interpreting what's been passed on to us? And what if the archives we're compiling right now are incomplete? Today on the show, Leaving a Mark. Ideas about capturing the ephemeral human experience in an artifact. Genevieve von Petzinger has spent more than a decade studying ancient paintings left behind by early humans. But she says while handprints and animal depictions get the most attention, she is drawn to the more abstract markings.
You know, there's little lines and there's dots and there's triangles and there's zigzags and there's rectangles with other dots inside of them.
And she believes these little shapes aren't just random.
So that was really where my research started, was just this genuine interest in trying to understand what, you know, what are they?
Her theory is that these shapes are actually symbols, possibly forms of communication left long before the first written languages. And the question to her is, what do they say? Here she is on the TED stage.
Barring a handful of outliers, there are only 32 geometric signs. Only 32 signs across a 30,000-year time span and the entire continent of Europe. That is a very small number. Now, if these were random doodles or decorations, we would expect to see a lot more variation. But instead, what we find are the same signs repeating across both space and time. Things like lines, rectangles, triangles, ovals, and circles. And while certain signs span thousands of kilometers, other signs had much more restricted distribution patterns, with some being limited to a single territory, like these divided rectangles that are only found in northern Spain, and which some researchers have speculated could be some sort of family or clan signs. There is a surprising degree of similarity in the earliest rock art found all the way from France and Spain to Indonesia and Australia. With many of the same signs appearing in such far-flung places, especially in that 30,000 to 40,000 year range, it's starting to seem increasingly likely that this invention actually traces back to a common point of origin in Africa. There could be no doubt that these signs were meaningful to their creators. We might not know what they meant, but the people of that time certainly did. The repetition of the same signs for so long and at so many sites tells us that the artists were making intentional choices. If we're talking about geometric shapes with specific, culturally recognized, agreed-upon meanings, then we could very well be looking at one of the oldest systems of communication in the world.
I mean, it's incredible. 32 symbols, only 32 symbols across all these regions. And you're saying that the message that they're leaving behind is more than just, I was here. It's actually perhaps the first way for early humans to leave each other notes.
Yes. And this is honestly where some of my research is going now as well, is I'm trying to find those first marks because I want to know what they were and I want to know why. Like, why did they start doing this? And in order to kind of improve my perspective for part of my PhD, I got to go and study linguistics and I got to look at proto-languages. So what came before Egyptian hieroglyphs? What came before cuneiform? What came before, you know, early Chinese writing? Because that's the thing, is that they don't come out of nowhere. They're the end product of a long tradition of graphic communication. And we never really sort of were making that connection before in a funny way. And so this is where I've been sort of saying, okay, well, how can we link this backwards? All of these systems start with two things. They start with counting marks and they start with iconic images. And when I say iconic image, I mean something that looks like what it represents.
Do you have a favorite? We talked about the negative hands. I saw there's also one that kind of looks like a hashtag, which is like, whoa, we still use that one.
Isn't that funny?
What are your favorites?
Okay, probably my ultimate favorite sign is the lowly dot. I think dots are just fascinating because, A, I suspect they're probably one of the absolute oldest things around. And also that we can use them in so many different places in so many different contexts. So there are places in caves where they find isolated dots, which seem to be there to indicate which passageway to go down. They're acting almost as path markers. We also see dots on the side of animals in a way that suggests that they might represent some sort of wound as though they're bleeding. Maybe this is part of a hunting scene. We also see dots in rows. And sometimes they look like maybe they're meant to represent something even maybe from the landscape. Or I've also seen dots used in a context that makes me think that maybe they were counting something. And then the really fun one, which again, totally speculative at this point, but I have some real faith in AI that maybe we might be able to do some cool pattern recognition. And what we're looking at there is maybe some of them could even be like a constellation. Or something like that, that we could be talking about stars.
So this episode is about leaving a mark. And obviously, we've been talking about how humans have left a mark. But my understanding is that you're currently trying to figure out if anyone else may have left these markings.
Oh, yeah, totally. So it was just about 5 years ago now, some colleagues in our field did this fantastic study where they were scraping these wonderful little calcite deposits that were put on after the art was made. And these little white calcite deposits dated to 65,000 years ago. which means the art has to be older than 65,000 years. There was no humans in Europe 65,000 years ago. There was only Neanderthals. Mm. And so this really opens up some very interesting questions about, well, if there's no humans around, then who made this art? I mean, think about what we use Neanderthal as an insult, right? There's this sense of like, well, they're not like us. We're the only ones that are like this group of people. But slowly but surely, Neanderthals have been checking all the boxes. Like, we're running out of things that separate us from Neanderthals, really. And art is one of the last bastions. But I mean, I personally think we've already crossed over on that one too. So I have a new project that I'm just putting together with some wonderful colleagues in Spain. Remember before I was talking about spit painting, right? Mm. And the fact that you can put a hand on a wall and you put pigment in your mouth and then you swish it with some water and you spit it on the wall. So other than water and pigment, what is in your mouth? What is in your mouth is genetic material. And if we're talking about genetic material, we're talking about potentially being able to actually rebuild DNA out of spit from 40 plus thousand years ago.
Wow.
So we're going to totally try. So this is going to be probably the next year or so. And if we have Neanderthal DNA in a painting, like, I mean, that is the mic drop, right? Like, at that point, we're like, and they made art.
That is so wild.
So, you know, I happen to think I have basically the best job in the world. I get to really work in this really exciting time in our field, too. Like, it feels like we're just learning so much about our own origins and about, like, our relationships with, like, our close relatives and, like, their capacity. I should like totally disclose the fact that I am 100% Team Neanderthal. So I feel like I need a t-shirt. I should totally get one made. So yeah, I'm expanding out into the world. I'm trying to fill in the blank spots on the map. That's like my new mission.
That's Genevieve von Petzinger. She's the author of the book, The First Signs, Unlocking the Mysteries of the World's Oldest Symbols. You can see her full talk at TED.com. On the show today, leaving a mark. I'm Anousheh Zamarodi, and you're listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR. We'll be right back.